WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy opening day to everyone celebrating, getting ready for the weekend. A happy Bruce arrival for everybody that loves Springsteen. And same thing with the Eagles. Feels like the Eagles are getting like Philadelphia Eagles third-party status around here, and I'm not going to allow that to Don Henley and Timothy B. Schmidt and the legend of Glenn Frey and the reality of Vince Gill and Joe Walsh. So big weekend down at CFG Bank Arena this weekend. We have moved our Maryland Crab Cake tour to Tuesday at Fadley's, but I will be at Fadley's all day Friday before the game. Just not doing the show. We will have instant lottery scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. I got a whole bunch of these left over from our Costas event on Wednesday. We had a beautiful event at Costas. Had Anthony Adams, the new UMBC head soccer coach. He's been my friend for a quarter of a century. That was wonderful. My dear friend Gigi Causey, who teaches Zumba and does real estate, has been my friend for a long, long time over on the east side hanging out with me, as well as Pete and John Martin. Good day at Costas. We are at Pappas next Thursday in Bel Air from 2 until 5. Come on up. I'll have some instant lottery scratch-offs to give away. We had some winners at Costas on we had the wheel. We had John Martin. We had half the lottery staff out there. It was crazy. TV crews were out there. All that was going on. Can't believe they could peel off from the Liars Luncheon to make it out to Costas. We are appreciative. Luke Jones is here. He peeled off twice on Wednesday, peeling off to the Liars Luncheon, and then after that, peeling off the WNST text about opening day, get banged on Friday. All that brought to you by our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford. Luke, I hear Chad Steele made some news on Wednesday. Please do tell. You and I, a full disclosure, we haven't talked about this off the air at all, other than everybody in the world has sent me a tweet, a text, video. The audio dropped out. I don't even know what the hell he said. So I'm just here asking you, because I'm not a real media member anymore, and apparently neither are any of the rest of you, because you don't get to make up your own questions anymore.
Well, I mean, I think the truth falls somewhere in the middle here. Look, the Ravens made it quite apparent before the press conference that, look, guys, we understand you have a job to do. We understand you're going to ask about Lamar. This is the pre-draft press conference. Traditionally, the major focus is the draft. And that's not out of bounds to say that. Anyone who's covered the pre-draft or listened
traditionally,
to the
pre-draft press conference, I would tell him, I'm doing my job. You open up, we're asking questions. You're not going to make the questions up for me. I'd make that very effing clear.
Correct.
Clear. And that's why I'm thrown out, because I made that clear. That wasn't going to be the way that's not the way it should be conducted. You embarrass everyone in the room when you conduct yourself in that way. Everyone.
Well, they embarrass themselves. They don't embarrass the media. So the very first question right off the bat, it was a question directed at Eric about Lamar, you know, it being a little over a week since his trade request, and, you know, asked him if he had a chance to talk to him. If so, what was the conversation? When a player has to be traded, what's your confidence level that, you know, that he's still going to be around, assuming you want to keep him and everything? So I'll read Eric's question or his answer word for word, and then I'll get to the rest of what happened. Eric's response was, I understand the need to ask those kinds of questions. I think just out of respect for the process, this is a draft luncheon, and we're going to try to keep as much of this discussion as we can to the draft, to the coming weeks, and building the best football team we can build. So I understand those questions. I think we've spoken about the situation probably five different times this spring in various different press conferences and such. So we're going to try to just kind of defer to those questions and move forward to the draft. So in enough words, it was no comment.
Well, Eric, you haven't addressed the fact that he's asked for a trade. You haven't addressed
sure.
You haven't addressed
sure.
that. So let's talk about that. Let's be a grown up.
Well,
be a grown up.
Okay. But you can't, if he's not going to answer the question, I mean, so what happens? Do we just keep asking the question and over and over? So that was his answer. There were a couple questions about, you know, corners, other stuff related to the draft. Then there was another question about Lamar from the standpoint of ideally.
This is asking the Ukrainian president about something other than the war. There is nothing else. There is nothing else other than Lamar Jackson.
No, that's not true.
And there needs to be some clarity on the front end of that. And then we'll get to the draft talk. But you're not going to cut questions off.
I understand that, Nestor. But then so do we just keep asking questions even though he's saying no comment?
Well, what's the threat? Is the threat we're going to throw you out if you ask? What is the threat? Is the threat?
Why are you yelling at me?
Like, what?
Why are you yelling at me?
What is the threat?
I guess my look, I'm. Should they answer the question? Sure. But if they're not going to, I guess my point is, then what are we doing? Does everyone just walk out?
Well, the whole thing becomes a sham for everybody.
Okay.
For the media signing up and going into a room and saying, we're not going to ask the king about the war. We're going to ask about the curtains. And, you know, it's insane. It's insane. I mean, it's absolutely, I need to be on the record with how insane this is.
Sure.
And the fact that our organization's involved in it and that I've been thrown out, this is a testament to my honesty and integrity that I'm not allowed in, because the follow-ups at the questions asked themselves, the fans know this, the media knows this, everyone knows this. They look like fools, they look like cowards, and they look like bullies. And I'll check all three of those boxes because I've been around this a while. That was disgraceful. It was disgraceful as a fan watching it from Costas. Like to be in the room and having Chad Steele tell you what you can and can't ask, that's disgraceful. I've been a part of the media for 38 years. I've never heard of such a thing. Just don't have the press conference. Seriously.
Well, they're required to by the league. I mean, I'm just telling you, they're required to by the league. You're required.
You're the one
to
that spent your day doing it. I'm the one that's financing it, and I'm appalled for all of us. A pox on their house. It's disgraceful.
I'm not saying that I agree with their methods. I guess my point is, if they're not going to comment on it, what do you want to do then?
Well, what do they want to do? Throw you out for asking?
Well, no one.
I want to go back to that. I want to go back to what happens if I keep asking? What do you do to me?
I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I'm not even saying I disagree with you, but at the same time, if Eric
it needs
is
to
asked
be said,
twice,
it needs to be said by somebody like me. It needs to be said out loud that this is disgraceful on behalf of every fan, that the way they behave and the lack of accountability and the arrogance, it smells. It's awful. It's odious.
I guess it's an
opportunity for the Orioles to go sell tickets and make fans, because they're not making fans doing this. They're not being transparent. They're not being accountable. And they are insulting everyone's intelligence through this, because they could say more without saying anything and just say, yes, it's been acknowledged and, you know, we're working on it, you know, but to say you can't ask about it, that's bullshit. Period.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I guess my question would be, what should they say and what would you want them to say?
Not
understanding.
Why.
Okay.
This is a delicate circumstance. Lamar came to us on March 2nd. Was it a text or an email? He texts me.
Okay.
It's fine. We're getting together. You know, I like say something that allows the fans to have some level of confidence that you are at least acknowledging that we care, and that you only have to speak three times, four times in the whole off season to be jerks and to stare down the media and stand up and stomp around about what can and can't be asked is juvenile. It's disgraceful. It's less than professional. And it's an insult to the media, and it's an insult to the fans. It is. It is.
Okay.
It is. And they should behave differently. And John's going to go out and talk about God 2 weeks from now and do his whole, you know, FCA, and we do everything the right way, except be accountable and except when it comes to intimidating people and then throwing them out or threatening to throw. What is the threat? If the question, like, I just would like to know, when they direct the press conference, what is the threat if someone were to say, now about Lamar, or had a follow up to your point, Eric's comments allowed for a follow up from a professional, somebody that is there to seek truth. We're there to seek truth, not there to polish up bullshit. So if you're there to seek truth, you keep asking questions until you get it, or you just say, all right, enough, and we go home. And I would ask about, I mean, I'm not saying it shouldn't have been about the draft press conference.
Sure.
But if the first 12 questions were about Lamar Jackson, you sit and answer the questions because it's your job.
Right.
Because it's your job.
Now I'm going to be devil's advocate here for a second. John Harbaugh answered questions a week ago, and I think someone even did the count. I don't know this verbatim because I can't remember, and I don't care enough to actually have the numbers memorized, but he was asked somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 questions, and I think 30 of them were about Lamar. Now, he answered those questions, but you didn't like his answers then. So I guess from my being the devil's advocate, what do you really want them and expect them to say, understanding this absurd position that they're in at this point with their franchise quarterback, a quarterback that you've taken, you know, lots of issues with how he's handled, and rightfully so, I have as well, and many people have, but understanding the reality of, you're not going to dress down your quarterback in front of the public. You're not going to say, you think Lamar's completely unreasonable with what his contract demands are. They're not going to say, even if they truly do want to trade him or move on from him, they're not going to say that, because every one of those things tanks his value. So I guess my point is, and I don't really, Nestor, I don't even disagree with your overall sentiments. I might not be quite as raw in how I would express that, but I understand it. And
you're not thrown out after 27 years.
I just said I understand that. However, I don't know what they could really say that would at all appease you, that's at all in reality world at this point.
I don't like the threat of it. I don't like the intimidation of it. I don't like the bullying of it. I never did.
But again, go back to what I just said.
I didn't like having to shut up about it. I didn't like having that shit happen in Chicago at a real press conference after a game, and nobody said anything about it. I didn't like being trapped in an elevator with Jamison Hensley when there are three reporters in Las Vegas, and nobody said anything about it. And if I said anything about it, they would have thrown me out then, because they have a penchant to want to throw people out and shut them up. That's obvious. That's fascist. Okay. That's not cool. That's not what this franchise was built on. That's not why the franchise was brought here. That's not why I bought PSLs. That's just not. They've jumped the shark on how they should be behaving, not with Nestor, with you, with everybody in the room, and with everybody watching live via satellite. It was disgraceful. And they're finding new lows, and I don't know where the end of this is. The end of this is they're either going to play with a pissed-off quarterback, or they're going to play without him, or they're going to deal him for a bag of footballs or whatever they're going to get, or draft picks or whatever that's going to be. And the reality is it looks like this season's already in trouble, and it's April, right? And there's going to be a lot of hard questions, John. There's going to be a lot of Lukes and Jeffs and Jamesons asking you questions after a lot of bad beats. They haven't done a lot of losing around here. I mean, all they've done is win, and they act like this. It would be amazing to see how they would behave if they had real hardship. Really. Like, real hardship.
Fair enough. You still didn't really answer my question, though. What do you want them to say that
– I don't want them to stand up and tell me what I can ask. That's it. That's the beginning and the end for you and Don Moeller and anybody else that has wonders what the issue is. The issue is you don't make the question.
I didn't say it was an issue.
Don't
I didn't say
shout down the media.
You're putting words into my mouth.
No, but there's – don't do that. Don't do that. And at some point, we'll shoot our load, dude. 11 guys. Okay. He only gives you one question. So you get one. If you ask about John and you get nothing. So, like, there's 30 people in the room. At some point, it would have mellowed out. Because I know the people in the room and they're intimidated. All of you are intimidated for being there because I got thrown out. You know you could get thrown out. You know, all of you know you can get thrown out. So there is a point where, like, enough would have been enough. But it's Eric's first time in front of everybody. It's John's first time in front of you, the local media. Not last week you had to fly to Scottsdale like I did last year and still get thrown out. And the owner, oh my God, where the owner is, I've seen John Angelos all week, and I haven't seen the owner. So we're not hearing from the leadership. We're having the executive communicator shout down and bully the media in front of everyone, just really showing what I've been writing about for a year. They're working in a very, very dangerous place for their own integrity. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. But the point I was making is John Harbaugh answered 25 questions about it, and you didn't like his answers then because you just thought he was being disingenuous. So I guess my point is, realistically speaking, pragmatically speaking, what are they going to be able to say that serves their purpose whatsoever at this point? They've tried being as nice as possible with Lamar as they can, and they've gotten nowhere with him. Being mean about it is going to tank his value even worse than what it is right now. So I guess, look, the questions need to be asked, and should they have cut it off after a third one, which wasn't, you know, the funny thing about it was the question that was cut off was more about the quarterback draft class than Lamar Jackson himself. So, you know, there was that as well. But
it speaks to who Chad Steele is. I mean, not even listening to the question, but that's fine.
Sure. But I guess the point would be, if they're not going to talk about it, then what's the appropriate number? Is it 2? Is it 4? Is it 10? Whatever.
There is no appropriate number where you stand up and say to professionals what they can and can't ask.
Fair enough.
With keeping their dignity and your own. And okay. Your own. And threatening what? If you keep asking what happens, you're going to sit me in the corner? You're going to take my job away? Take my career away? Fair take enough. Away my ability to feed my family? They did that to me. So they'll do that to you. And they'll do that to everybody in the room. And that's trash. That's modern trash. And what I saw out there on Wednesday from just a sheer accountability to a fan in the upper deck, the fans deserve better than that. I'm one of them. I deserve better as a fan myself for 27 years, as a media member, as a vested individual, as a professional. Everyone in that room deserved better than whatever Steve Bisciotti and Chad Steele, whatever manure they were shoveling on behalf of Harbaugh and DaCosta, who look like, I don't even want to say out loud because I don't want to use a five. They look like impotent men is what they look. They
I don't know if I agree with that.
Dude,
I think they look miserable.
And somebody stands up and says, you're not allowed to ask the question. I'd say, Chad, sit down. Sit your ass down. You're not speaking for me. As Harbaugh has texted me many times, they don't speak for me. I speak for myself. Yeah, except when he speaks for you. And you invite us all out, and we spend our day to come out there, not to eat the food, but to ask questions and learn about the team on behalf of the fans. On behalf of the fans. Not Cliff Brown, sure. Not paid employees, not people that are intimidated because they get their paycheck every 2 weeks from the Ravens. It's the people like you that don't, that their boss has been intimidated, their organization has been intimidated, and now the entire contingent was deballed in front of everybody while Harbaugh and DaCosta sat there and looked bewildered and deep down knew that's not right. That's not right. Eric DaCosta knows this isn't right, and John Harbaugh knows this isn't right. They know it's not right. And I just found it fascinating sitting there watching Sage Steele broadcast from the Masters, like on the media side, thinking that somebody would come up to her and tell her what question she could ask and not ask. It's an insane proposition. I've never seen anything like that in 38 years of covering sports and have it tolerated by the media. Can you imagine the effing New York media? Can you imagine that happening at a New York? It just would never happen. It would never happen. It wouldn't have happened with Phil Jackman. It wouldn't have happened with John Stedman. It wouldn't have happened with Larry Harris. It would never have happened. I'm telling you that we're in a scary place with what they're doing out there. That's all. As a media member, and I've watched this from the beginning. The fact that I'm not in there scary should be scary to everybody.
Okay.
And it is.
I mean, fair enough. I don't disagree with that. I guess I just come back to the pragmatic. If they're not going to talk about it, what are we going to do? Just hold a gun to their head? You know.
Well, we're not going to be threatened to be thrown out. That's against the rules. I don't know what the threat is, but the threat is what? I keep going back to that. I would have stood up and said, what is your threat? If I ask a legitimate question about sent us here to
no
ask
one was thrown out of the...
because they didn't ask another question because they're good boys, good girls. Good boys and girls. Luke, I'm highly offended. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not going to hide it. And I haven't said a word in 7 months about anything.
I understand.
Yeah. And I haven't said anything in 7 months about it. So today's my day when fans and listeners are emailing me and saying, maybe I was wrong about you. Maybe you were right. Like the 7 months I've gone everywhere and had people come up to me and say, what did you do to them that they would throw you out? Ask about Lamar Jackson and they threw me out. For asking about the quarterback that everybody's asking me about. It's they don't even know the business they're in. I mean, really, they don't even know the business they're in. They don't even know who they're serving. They're serving their ego is what they're serving. They're not serving their customers. They're really not. They're not helping. They're not helping season tickets. They're not helping suite sales. They're not helping morale. And they're certainly not helping the confidence of their integrity. The confidence of their integrity. They didn't help themselves when Ray Rice punched his wife in a glass elevator and they all denied it. That didn't help their integrity either. But this, I found Wednesday to be very, very telling for other people, because I've been the guy in there being told what I can and can't ask, and I didn't take it well. I didn't like it.
Fair enough.
Was there anything about the draft was there anything worthwhile, or was it just an hour of awkward for John and Eric?
Have you ever found the liar's luncheon to be worthwhile? I mean, really?
I'm being serious.
And you feel the way you feel, and I really don't even disagree. I guess my point is, when there's two no comments, then how many no comments should go on? Like, should we ask 8 times? Should we ask 12 times? Should we ask 14 times? Like, at some point in time, if they're just not going to talk about it, they're not going to talk about it. In the same way that if a player doesn't want to talk in the locker room, you know, you're not going to get them to talk. I mean, ultimately, they aren't accountable to anyone. And that's just the truth. I mean, the NFL, look how big the NFL is. The NFL wants to start flexing Sunday games to Thursday nights. They don't give a you know what about any paying customers. They care about Amazon, and they care about ESPN, and they care about NFL Network.
Part is that's bled into my hometown, and that was not in the spirit of.
And I'm not saying that's right. Let me be clear. I'm not taking up for them. I'm just trying to look at this as pragmatically as I can. That if they're just not going to talk about it, you're not going to make them talk about it. And look, in fairness, to a point, and that doesn't mean you should cut it off after 2 or 3 questions about Lamar, but in fairness, I also understand, what do you want them to say at this point? They don't know how this is going to work out. I mean, that's just the truth at this point.
I sit here and talk about it all day. When Eric's got a press conference, he can give me 120 seconds on, here's where we are with Lamar. The last time I talked to Lamar was a month ago. Lamar demanded a trade. I went to Indianapolis. We don't want to trade Lamar. We love Lamar. We want Lamar here. We've offered Lamar a significant amount of money, and we've tried. Where the official organization position is he's under contract. We'd love to have him back. We expect him to come and play football. They need to say that out loud, that we expect him to come and play football. He's under contract. And that's that. Now, that being said, we have offered him a lot of money.
Didn't John say that last week, though?
Why can't Eric say that? Why is Eric hiding?
Okay.
Eric hides.
But I'm just asking.
John's in front of everybody for a long time. Let Eric dance.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Say everything you need to say about Lamar in the first 3 minutes, and maybe there won't be any questions. Because I know you can't poop on him. I know you're not going to say, here's the evidence, here's the text, we offered him $148 million, whatever. But Eric could provide, he's smarter than anybody in the room. He could provide a notebook worth of, here are the scenarios. He's asked for a trade. This is what could happen. This is what could happen. This is where we are. We're going to draft a quarterback. You're going to ask me about that. You know, like all of that. We're preparing to play in September. All the things that Ozzy would have said, right? We're preparing to play. He could have been proactive to not have this bully stand up and play the role of bully to shout everybody down 4 minutes into a press conference. Everybody drove across the city, and everybody in the city's hanging on their every word, hoping they clarify something. Just clarify as much as you can. No speaky thing? No bueno. Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke and at luke@wnst.net. He's in Owings Mills. He will be there. I'll be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I wish this were performative, and I was just making up. Lots of teams have been asked lots of tough questions for lots of years by lots of reporters who are a lot tougher than anybody in Baltimore these days, without being intimidated or thrown out, and with giving an answer that they can give to the people, that they can give to the customers with some level of confidence. That's not happening right now. I'm Nestor. We are WNST. And we're rolling through this thing here. Luke Jones is with us, as always. I'll be giving these Maryland Lottery scratch-offs away at Pappas on Thursday afternoon. We'll be at Fadley's on Tuesday morning, as well as on opening day. And then on the 27th, we're back down to Capitol's. Luke, my ranting on all of this, there were so many ways to handle it without having to stand up and telling people to shut up. There were so many different ways to handle Nestor without throwing him out and throwing his wife out and being a jerk. There are a lot of ways to do this professionally, but when you're licensed to be a jerk, when your boss wants you to be a jerk, and when you feel like you have a job for life and you can be a jerk and you can do whatever you want against the law or not, then you get what we're getting here, and it's not serving the fans. And that's the issue. It's not serving the fans. It really isn't.
Yeah. And look, let's be clear. I don't disagree with your overall sentiment. I just kept coming back to, if they're not going to talk about it, short of getting up and everyone walking out of the room, which maybe we should have, you know, to your point, maybe that's how we should have handled it, which, you know, I don't know, you know, to me, that's giving the team, it's probably giving a team what they want at this point, because very, you know, their access is going away rather than increasing just about anywhere you look as it relates to sports and, you know, teams and media. But I hear you. And, you know, I do think at this point in time, I think one of my big takeaways beyond just everything that you've talked about is I think it represents a very clear shift in tone that they didn't even want to say Lamar Jackson's name on Wednesday compared to what we've heard for the better part of 2 years, which has been not good cop, bad cop with John and Eric, but more good cop and middle of the road cop, let's say. You know, John's been so effusive with praise. I mean, even last week, as Lamar's tweeting out, making public what his trade requests had been, John was still working off the old script that they've used for the better part of 2 years, right? 200%. He's going to be our quarterback. He's our guy. We love Lamar. He's great. We love him as a person, all these different things. And, you know, Eric's been more of the, it takes two to tango. You know, I remain optimistic that we're going to get something done, but, you know, also acknowledging, alluding to the challenges of the negotiation.
But there comes a point where if Lamar winds up in a Colts jersey 10 days from now, do they owe some sort of explanation to the public as to what the hell happened?
Sure.
Sure. Or do they not?
Of course
are we
they
invested?
Do.
Are we in the soap opera? Or are we just shat upon and ATMs out here? Like, you told us to buy the jerseys. You told us to buy in. He wanted out. What the hell happened here?
Sure. Absolutely. And look, I mean, I'll even go back to something that you and I talked about a lot. You know, Deshaun Watson's deal happened 13 months ago. Lamar's been extension eligible for 27 months-ish. You know, so what happened that first year? Where do you think this went awry? I mean, again, going to your scenario that Lamar Jackson ultimately does not sign long-term and ultimately is with another team, whether it's a week from now, a month from now, or next year.
And the Ravens are 5-13 or 12 because of it or whatever, right?
I mean, whatever. That part of it's to be determined. But if he's not your quarterback anymore, what the heck happened? How did it get to this point? Yeah, they absolutely, you know, answers at that point. And there should be some answers at that point because you're not, you know, it's not as though you can retroactively fix it. So what are you hiding at that point? You know, at this point, you're trying to maintain some semblance of, you know, integrity as far as negotiations between you and the player, right? You know, something that Lamar seemingly, you know, went bye-bye with tweeting out his trade request. But, you know, once it's all said and done, yeah, if there's not going to be a happy ending here, there better be some explaining as far as what the heck happened. And at that point, doesn't mean you have to completely trash the guy personally, but at least say, yeah, this is what happened. Yeah,
does the PR director stand up and say, "We're no questions on Lamar. He's gone. Next question.
Well,
he's gone."
That to me would be even more extreme than what we saw on Wednesday. You know, I mean, again,
well, there is no limit. They've already thrown out accredited media members. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know where the edge is. I mean, literally.
I mean,
right?
I don't know what you want me to say to that. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't
fact.
Know. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, again, I understood what happened Wednesday to a point from the standpoint of they very clearly did not want to talk about Lamar Jackson. It's no comment. Eric gave up. I read the answer. It was a no comment. Next question that came a couple questions later about it. It was an answer that had nothing to do really with Lamar himself. And it was just speaking in generalities. And then the third one, and it was cut off, even though, like I said, ironically, it was about the quarterback, you know, the draft class. And the one thing I will say, and this is, you know, you asked me developments in the pre-draft press conference. this was interesting from the standpoint of, again, does it mean anything one way or the other? Eric was flat out asked if would they consider taking a quarterback, and he flat out said, "Well, we have quarterbacks in our first round board," and he acknowledged that possibility. Now, whether they're serious about that or not, of course they have to acknowledge that because that's still part of the negotiating process. You have to at least present to Lamar Jackson through these channels that you are prepared to move on if you have to.
You've got a quarterback that hasn't finished but, 2 seasons in a row. Of course you're going to be thinking about drafting a quarterback, right?
Well, but they had they said that at any other point? You know, earlier this offseason, Eric was asked about the possibility of trading Lamar, and they said that that's not a consideration for us right now. The fact that he did, the fact that they didn't laugh at that, the fact that they didn't dismiss that, the fact that they didn't say, Lamar Jackson's our quarterback, we love him, and we're determined to make him our quarterback for many years to come. The fact that they acknowledge that, yeah, they would consider taking a quarterback early, whether that's likely or not. For one thing, the top four quarterbacks are not going to be there at 22. So you'd be talking about someone like Hendon Hooker from Tennessee, who is a talented quarterback, but coming off of a knee injury and may not even play in 2023. But that was interesting to me. But as Lamar Jackson dialogue goes, that's about the full extent that we saw, because like I said, I don't think they even mentioned him by name at any point in time. And of course, you know, after you cut it off after three questions, but there were still questions after that about the quarterback class, about quarterbacks, about Anthony Richardson, about, you know, Joe Ortiz.
They play football. They play football. It's a quarterback. Sure. Like, sure. Like it's insane. The premise that you would drag the media out and tell them they can't ask about the quarterback, I don't know what to say. We have lost. We have lost the plot. I mean, we really.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you that I disagree. I mean, it's just, you know, it's what it is. A couple questions were asked. They didn't say anything, and then they cut it off after that. I mean, I don't.
There's
I don't
your
agree.
Ravens report from our Ravens reporter. You know, but anything else that seeped out of cornerbacks or position players or anything in regard to the class itself that would be of value? I mean, I talked to a lot of draft. I've had Mike Denier on. I've had a lot of people on talking about the draft and where the cornerbacks are, that's the thick place for drafting. There'll be a lot of corners the first three rounds that go off, right?
Yeah, corners, wide receivers, they spoke in glowing terms about the depth of the wide receiver class. You know, they talk edge rushers, which, you know, I'm not sure in the first round based on the fact that, you know, it's go time for Adafe Owe and David Ajabo. Although certainly if the right guy's there on the board, you can't dismiss it. But, you know, I think, you know, they those are the positions they identified that has good depth into day three of the draft. I did find, as much as there was not the, you know, you think of the Liars Luncheon, there was never a thought that you were getting earth-shattering information, hence the nickname, the Liars Luncheon. But it always, for the most part over the years, had a kind of a lighthearted, fun tone to it. This was not a fun tone whatsoever. I mean, regardless of, you know, the Lamar question being cut off, they looked miserable. You know, they looked miserable for the most part. The one moment of levity and one moment of humor was John Harbaugh was asked, or John was asked about Joey Porter Jr., of course, who's the Penn State corner, was asked about the possibility of the Ravens drafting him and Joey Porter Sr. having to be a potential Ravens fan, which, you know, would be pretty funny. And Eric said, well, how do we know he would root for the Ravens? So that was like the one moment where there was actually a little bit of laughter. But by and large, you know, it was, you know, and again, I don't want to make this out to be that the Liars Luncheon has all these incredible nuggets of information. It's all about misinformation and smoke screens and all of that. You know, you're not going to give away who your absolute favorite players are. If you do have a quarterback, you have designs of drafting at some point, even if it's a guy later in the draft, you're not going to broadcast that. So, you know, again, for what it is, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of earth-shattering information, but, you know, at the same time, you know, some of the positions of depth that they mentioned are certainly positions the Ravens have needs for. So, you know, it again, nothing earth shattering, but yeah, the overall takeaway was what we saw at the beginning, which was a very clear shift in tone that they're done talking about Lamar Jackson. And, you know, now, you know, we kind of, again, I didn't know what exactly they would say at this point in time, as we're in this holding pattern, but, you know, we're kind of just waiting and seeing what's going to happen and see if a team steps up to try to sign them or trade for them. And if not, then, well, we only have a few more months to go until we get to the mid-July deadline for the franchise tag and all of that. So,
well, I don't care what they do, because I'm going to opening day and I'm going to sing with Bruce Springsteen. I'm going to sing with Don Henley over the weekend. I'm going to welcome this new arena. We're going to get through this Yankee series. We got a lot of baseball ahead. I'm going to make the most of it no matter what. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be miserable because they're miserable. So I believe me, I will not be miserable with a cold beer in my hand, delicious crab cake at Fadley's. Luke, you should stop down at Fadley's Friday morning before the game. We'll set you up right, get you delicious crab cake, some mac and cheese. Everybody, welcome. Come on down. We're going to give away some Instant Lottery scratch-offs as well. Luke will be covering all things baseball. And I guess football's quiet now, right? Until there's a purple thing that happens with Lamar, and that doesn't feel imminent at all. There's going to be a draft 3 weeks from now, and the Ravens are going to, there's going to be code silence, right? They're probably not even going to be doing much on their offseason program at this point, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there'll be some access later this month as it pertains to that. You know, maybe we'll get to talk to the new strength coach. How about that?
You know, hey, after listen, that, Luke, you better go to those practices or you'll take your press pass for not being there often enough.
But I want to go back. I want to echo something that you just said, because I understand there's a lot of frustration from fans. I get it. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, when you've made one outside addition, it's Nelson Aguilar. When the free agents that you've signed have been generally, you know, role players and guys of that nature, and taking nothing away from Justice Hill or guys like that, but they're not moving the needle. We get that. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of uncertainty. But to the point that you just made, enjoy some baseball. NBA playoffs are starting. I know the Caps are not going to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and, you know, that's disappointing locally for those who root for the Caps. But there's lacrosse. There's a lot going on. Don't let the Ravens dictate your mood. And I don't mean that for you specifically, Nestor. I mean that for anyone. There's a lot of other stuff going on. They'll be there. There will be life after Lamar Jackson, or maybe they can still work something out, because there's not a long list of teams knocking on Lamar Jackson's door.
I don't
right
think they
now.
Want to give Lamar Jackson $150 million anymore.
Well, now, maybe not, but at the same time, until you find a solution to this problem that is at all satisfying, you know, you're not just going to let them walk. So, you know, that's where.
Oh, but are you going to sit here and play hostage the next 6 months and let him dictate all of this while your team sucks?
Well, but if you let him go, you're letting them dictate that too, because then he gets what he wants. He becomes a free agent. So, you know, it's not good. Believe me, I'm not saying it's good, but I am not at all convinced how this thing's going
to
play out.
It's great for them, because they don't have to answer any questions, even at a press conference. They just let the big guy in the corner just get out and bully everybody. So they don't have to do it. So they can sit there and smile at you. It's gross. Oh. It's disgraceful. Having watched the Orioles and done this my whole life, this is disgraceful. And if you see Eric DaCosta, you see John Harbaugh, because I've reached for the phone a dozen times to text them and tell them what a disgrace they are, but saying it over the mic, it'll get to them. So if you see John, you see Eric, let them know. I think they're a disgrace. And I think what happened on Wednesday is disgraceful. And what they've done to the fans by not answering questions, forget Lamar, forget their business. We're vested in the story. Don't treat us like that. Don't treat us like chumps. Don't treat us like chumps. The Orioles have been treating people like chumps for a long, long time. I've pointed it out. The Ravens have now moved to that point, moved past that point. I mean, I just always think about what Art and David would think and what Kevin Byrne is watching from this from afar, and just can't be like, this isn't the way it's done. It's just not the way it's done. And it's not the way it's done anywhere else. And it shouldn't be done here. And it should be unacceptable to everybody, to everybody. Luke, I'll let you go while watching baseball, because I know you're ready. There's no football to watch. There's a draft coming up. I enjoyed women's basketball. I enjoyed the Final Four. I am ready for baseball season. We've been watching. I'm ready for Grayson time and Adley time and all that stuff. I've even got my special lucky orange shirt that I have out. Orioles are 2-0 with me wearing the lucky orange shirt. So there, I'm 2-0 on the season. Luke will be down at Camden Yards. I'll be at Fadley's. We'll be at Pappas on Thursday and around and just here covering all things. And when the Lamar thing sorts itself out, we'll be the first ones to let you know. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.